rental.
Short-term rental.
Short-term rental there. And we just walked down on Saturday, had the wedding, had a dinner that we all cooked. We enjoy cooking and just enjoyed our time with family and friends there. So I have decided to change my name fully from Lydia Durst to Lydia Henry. And in the transition of all of that.
Does that concern you politically, though? Because, like, you could go Lydia, what, Durst Henry or Henry Durst, whichever.
Yeah, I could hyphenate it politically, but we'll just see how that goes when re-election comes around. We'll start looking at that again in next year. And then, well, I guess, end of next year, really. End of 2026, we'll look at it for 2028. And then on a ballot, you could go as any name as you wish. So if need be, I could add Lydia Durst Henry onto the ballot.
Whatever you put on your petition.
If needed.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Tell us about the county recorder's office right now. What's happened after all the smoke is cleared and all of the paper ballot talk and all of the counting ballots one at a time and purple stamps on your hand and whatever concept people came up with voting. What's the scoop as far as the new voting law goes?
So the recorder's office has two part. We record the documents, make them a public record, the land documents that Jeannie gets, and then you get your tax bill for owning that land. And then we have the voter registration side. The voter registration side has kind of been a bit hot topic for many years now, since 2020. I think the hand count has kind of laid low. We went out to bid for a new printer vendor, and Runbeck was chosen. We've been with them since 2022. And then when that RFP went to the Board of Supervisors, it was voted that we add in the ballot paper security to be added. So the Elections Department is actually who prints, makes ballots. So they've been on that task of making sure it can be printed, it can be tested, it can be tabulated, all of that. That's going to come out in the next Board of Supervisors meeting. There'll be a presentation, how that testing has gone and how we'll be able to move forward. Either continuing how we are or continuing with ballot paper.
That's with Alan Tempert, of course. Are you going to be part of that presentation?
Yeah, so we're going to kind of make it a presentation of showing how our different offices work. A lot of people think I am the officer in charge of elections. I am to a degree, but he also has his side. So the Elections Department makes a ballot, prints a ballot, has election day, and tabulates. The Recorder's Office does ballots by mail early in person for 27 days, and then petition, signature curing, all of that, but it all ends in Alan's office. So we're going to give a little.
What's the new rule? I know there was a piece of legislation that went through that said no more ballots after Friday, and then they compromised, and it looked like they were going to take ballots on Election Day again, but I'm not sure on this. That's why I'm asking you.
Right. So there was a legislative that had passed, and it's to assist in late earlies. So a late early is considered an early ballot that you've had for 27 days and you're dropping it off on Election Day. So we've seen that over the years how, you know, you need it in 2020, you needed to drop it off on Election Day and then the delay that makes because they have to be beeped and received and then they have to be beeped signature verified.
Beeped?
Yeah, so like barcode beeped by hand in Mojave County.
Now I know the lingo.
So now they're... You can still drop it off on Election Day, but you need to show ID. So if you're bringing in a ballot for your partner, you're not going to have their ID. It has to go through the signature verification process.
So then it becomes...
Yeah, but everything will still come back to our office even with that change. It's just going to have a stamp on it that they verified their ID. So it will assist in the signature process, less curing. But the whole process remains the same.
What is that called when there's a ballot that's not verified, but it's waiting verification?
It's in the curing period.
Oh, okay.
So we call the voter. If we have their phone number, we'll send them an email. We'll send them a letter. They have 5 days after Election Day to cure their signature by calling us and saying, like, yes, I signed it. I broke my arm. I'm signing with my opposite hand. Or I changed my name, but I never re-registered, but I wrote my new married name.
You've had the excuse I had to sign it with my other hand?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
One time, we have a picture in our office of a gentleman that actually had to have his fingers amputated.
Oh.
And his signature was so different, we had called him. And he then sent us a copy of his hand and said, this is why my signature is different, because I no longer have any fingers on my hand. So, you know, people, of course, go through everything daily, and to us, it's just so different. We contact them, and they'll be glad to share their story often.
I don't know about you two ladies, but if my hand was amputated and you called me, and I'd probably take his word for it.
Oh,
who's going to make
certainly.
That up?
And we just ask them to, like, describe how they're signing it. So is your L, is it, you know, just a 90 degree? Are you making it cursive? Things like that.
Which county recorders, did you work for Carol Meyer?
I worked for Christy Blair.
Oh, that's it. Christy. Mm-hmm. Christy. Okay. And then that's the only one you've worked for?
Yes. I started in 2018. She was elected in 2017.
Christy was here for a while.
She was.
Right. Do you still keep in touch with her as far as mentor goes?
Yeah, we talk. We talked on my wedding day. She was called, congratulated, things like that. She spends a lot of time out of Arizona now that she's retired, traveling.
Nice.
And yeah.
Nice. Jeannie.
Yes.
Which hat do you have on today?
Oh, I don't have the other hat
anymore.
Oh,
you only have one. That's
yes,
right.
I only have one
that's
hat,
right.
Which is really fantastic.
Let me ask you about that.
Okay.
Okay, Jody Sagesser.
Yes.
Of course, the chairman of the county GOP.
She's doing great.
What do you think of her so far?
Oh, she's tough.
Yeah,
she's tough. And you know what? That's what we need anymore, especially for the party. Maybe I wasn't tough enough. But she is tough. And I think that our party is in the right direction right now. We're doing good. We're going to do great. She's got plans for 2026 that I'm just excited.
Yeah,
I'm really excited.
District 4 is a real challenge, if I remember right. I'm thinking Golden Valley, whichever district that is.
Okay.
Board of Supervisor, District 4.
Yeah, Board of yeah.
No, I'm thinking that.
What's the challenge?
I'm talking about as far as the GOP goes.
Well, it was a challenge for me from that
the precinct
district.
Committee people.
Right,
people.
Right. But she's got plans for the 2026. What she did at this last election was amazing. For the longest time, I didn't have a vice chair, so she came in, slid right in as vice chair, got tents all over the place, and got the vote out.
Yeah, and what surprised me about Jody is the name recognition. She's from another state.
That's right.
She comes in, I'm like, wait, how do you know these people?
Yep.
Yeah.
She's done really well.
Right, right, exactly. So county assessor-wise, what has changed this year as far as property valuations go?
Not a lot has changed, but there might be some changes depend upon the bills that I get passed. Can I back up for a second for what Lydia was talking about on her ballot?
You're the guest.
All right. Well, you put on that chairman hat on me for a second. So I want
to
say kudos
to
Mojave County for being the only county in the state that has a watermark on their ballot.
Oh.
And that's a huge thing.
Am I
correct?
And that's what we have been testing and looking at to see. So it would add like microfibers, UV print, a watermark.
Mm-hmm. Tell people out there, the more technically challenged of our audience, so we have an older audience, what a watermark is.
So watermark is more of like what is on your new $100 bill.
Like a shadow.
Put it up to the light.
Like, yeah. This would have a sentence of some sort, Mojave County on it. It would be embedded in the paper to know that the ballot paper you are receiving is an authentic piece of paper that you should be voting and that would be counted. But it just depends on how that testing has gone with the elections department, if they'll have to be able to have all five things.
But they're testing. And I think that was Sunny's idea, was it not?
It was.
Yeah.
What is it? Ditat Deus, I think it is. It's Latin.
Yeah,
on our Arizona seal.
Uh-huh.
That would look good.
That would look nice,
yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, we're proud of it. Mojave County was the first one to step up and try to do something and start the process. And thanks to Sunny for doing that. I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. That's just security all the way around.
I'm the president of the Arizona Board or Arizona Recorder Association. And we have spoke about that, too. Like, if we can take this on and champion it, everyone else wants to follow suit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, Runbeck, they want to be the ones that produce that paper. They want to be the printer and vendor for that. Hmm. Everyone could really take a win for that.
Yes, they could.
So we'll just really see how it works
out. And Mojave County seems to be the first on a lot of things in Arizona. So we really need to be taking a bow. All of our departments are doing things that say, you know what, I don't mind being the first.
Nice.
We're not followers. We're leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And Mojave County, although our population might not be grand, our space is over 14,000 square miles,
right.
And our elected officials are too, because we're doing things like that. We're being the first in the state to do things.
So moving into Maricopa County, I'm going to talk about Adrian Fontes for a minute. Has he updated the elections manual? I think the last time was 2019.
So he did have an election manual for 2023.
Oh, he did? Okay.
But just portions of it were removed by law. Currently, the 2025 manual is out for public comment. I think that's closing either
we can look during
this
the break.
Week or then. Yeah. And then next week, all Arizona recorders, the Secretary of State's office will get together, review public comment, and all of that. So when the Secretary of State's office puts together an EPM, the Election Procedure Manual, there are weekly conversations with the Secretary of State's office, the election directors, the recorders. Everyone puts their input. Like, are you making that manual to follow the law and give true guidance? Because that's what everyone wants. There's 15 of us. We all need to be on the same
path
for elections in Arizona. So everyone has that comment internally. Of course, it is lying in the Secretary of State's office of how it's going to be printed and produced.
The reason I asked is it was a big bone of contention between Mark Fincham and Adrian Fontes during the campaign. So I guess it hadn't been really touched since our governor was Secretary of State.
Right,
so,
because she did not complete.
Right, right. Yeah. Let's go ahead and take a short break. It is Fleetwood Mac versus Tom Petty week.
Mm-hmm. You know Tom Petty, I've seen him.
Did you hear the promos?
No.
We're giving away tickets. It's
I saw the ad in the paper.
Fleetwood Mac. Not the paper, the radio.
But I did see it.
You're killing me. You are just killing me. Fleetwood Mac versus Tom Petty, December 26th through the 30th. Yeah, that's your cue, Marissa June. At the Fiesta Showroom, Harrah's Laughlin. They call it Harrah's Beach Resort and Casino now.
Really?
Yeah. That's what it says right there. It's in their logo. Harrah's Beach Resort and Casino. Exactly. All
can
right.
we win those tickets?
I know people. I know people. So 928-855-9336. Call the office, not the show. 928-855-9336. And Marissa June. God, see what I knew I was going to do that. Marissa June is waiting for your call. Back with more in a moment. If you have a question, a concern, or whatever, give us a call here on the show, 854-KNTR, or text us at 928-727-5566. See what it says over on my caricature over there? My grumpy caricature. It's talk radio, not just listen radio.
We care about your opinions.
My hair's not curly enough.
It was great, though.
AI doesn't know nothing when it comes to caricatures, man. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Don't forget, we broadcast from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. That's right. This is the Speak Out half of the room. That's the kitchen with no sink half with my best friend, the refrigerator, of course. Hey, how do you like that flyer right there? I survived the Trump recession, 47 to 49.25. I love that. Right? Yeah, it's all about tariffs. The tariffs are the end of the world. I don't know. I don't even think the verdict's still out.
Every week we get another country that says, okay, we're going to take off our tariffs. So it's going to take a while before we actually could add it all up.
Well, they're afraid of the Don, right? The Don is a mafia term, by the way. Donald. Anyway, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford by Just Meats. All the cuts all the time. Salmon's Air Conditioning. Springberg Wealth Management. Brian will be back next week, I'm told. And then he's off the week we have Education Week. I think it's the 25th that he's off. We're going to have a whole series of, it's all education, in conjunction with the Arizona Media Association. It's actually going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, cool.
Also, Blonzi Steakhouse, North London Bridge Road. And our newest sponsor just came on board like 2 days ago. A&B Propane.
Yeah, how about A&B. That? They've been around a long time.
Are you a customer?
Yeah, I am.
Since you're in Crystal Beach, right?
That's right.
Real people, real service, no hidden fees, no runaround. AB Propane, AZ.com. Thank you to the Hop Days for making that happen.
Amazing man.
We love that. We love new sponsors. We love all of our sponsors. Great. Got another, I don't know, half a dozen over down in the bottom half of the page, okay. too. Don't forget to buy local or it's buy local. We haven't really got to talk about assessor stuff yet.
Yeah, right? Well, it's kind of boring, right? It's taxes.
Well, actually, this is the first year I've done stories on assessed value of Topak properties, Mojave Valley properties, and Bullhead properties, and it's all, wow.
Yeah.
But that's not your fault.
No, it's not. We've got a great crew. I got a great crew. I pinch myself daily because our staff is so amazing. We've had a little bit of changes because people retire. How dare them go and retire on me, right? And so then they have an opening and I have to fill an opening, and so we've had some shifting going on, but I think I've got the best staff that I've had since I've been the assessor, and we've got nice new visions that we can do to make things better for our customers and the way that we do our processes. So I'm working on a lot of that. One of the things we started a few years ago was the Assessor Address Protection Program, and I'm very proud of that because it's very successful.
Let's take the phone call first.
Okay.
I'll write
okay.
down a note on that, and
okay.
then we'll go ahead and address that. Caller, you're live on Speakout.
Hello, everybody.
Is this Donna?
Yeah, it's me.
Hey, Donna. You're kind of far from the phone right now, but we can still hear you.
I am?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, it's pretty close to me. Maybe it's my speaker.
Could be. Yeah, you're on speaker.
How's this?
You're great. What can we help you with?
I had a question. If something happens that somebody can't pay their taxes by the due date, are they right away kicked out of their house, or are they given a grace period, or what?
You kick people out of home, Sue Ann?
We don't. Hi,
kidding,
Donna.
Kidding.
This is Sue Ann. Yeah, it's unfortunately, it's state statute. It will accrue interest once it's past the due date at the rate of 1.33% at the first of each new month, which is such a small amount. It equates to 16% a year. If you don't pay the taxes after a year and a half, it will go to a tax lien sale. Now, that's not an outright sale of your property. That's just this individual investor is paying the taxes in return for a lien on the property. And they have the option to bid the interest from 0 to 16%. So you will be paying when you are able to redeem that and pay your property taxes, you're also going to be paying that interest, and then the lien will be removed.
Okay. All righty. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thanks, Donna. And if folks have another question, give us a call, 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. We got about 10 more minutes, and we'll have Coach Carl Thompson on the line from Lake Havasu High School. The reason Coach Thompson's a big deal, it's the Golden Shovel game this year.
Oh, that's right, huh?
It's this week. And
yeah.
I'll be on one of the, kind of, not really the play call, more the color guy. So let's go ahead and take another phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Yeah, question. I heard that if you're a senior citizen, you can have them freeze your assessment of their house. How does that work?
Yes, there's a qualification period. After the first of the year, you want to go in and apply for the senior freeze. What we call it, the senior protection program is a senior freeze. You have to be over 65 years old. You have to live in your home for 2 years. Let me see if I can get some numbers here for you. I just had that written down.
Well, I'm yes on both those, or my wife's 65.
Yeah, yeah.
Both spouses have to be?
So, no, just one spouse.
Okay.
Must be over 65 years young, must be your primary residence, must have resided in your home for at least 2 years, and your combined income from all owners cannot exceed $45,000 for a single person and $56,000 for two or more, and that number does change every year. So I hope that helps you.
Gross?
Is that adjusted gross?
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Your AGI.
Yeah, AGI. Just so what you'll need to do is you need to come in after the first of the year, come prepared with 3 years of the first two pages of your tax statement, and we'll sign you up and see if you get qualified.
How flexible are they on that? If you go over that by, let's say you make $48,000.
Yeah.
There's no scale?
It's a statute.
Wow. Right there.
Yeah.
That's tough.
That's it, huh?
Yeah.
So it's not really to help. It's more of like a charity thing. I mean, like for...
You know, all of our...
It's not for everybody.
It's for fixed right. income and lower income
yeah,
seniors.
Yeah, all of our
sure.
programs, besides the Assessor Address Protection Program, are all really for people that don't have large homes and don't have large incomes. That's what they're for people that... So they don't lose their home. You know, we even have a deferral program. Let's say it's the last year of your life and you don't want to move out of your home. It can be deferred, but the family will have to come in and cover for that in order to keep that home, pay for
so
that.
So in the crash of 08, all of our values went down. If you freeze your assessment, will it stay high if the prices of values go down?
If the values go down, it's up to the assessor, and if our values were to go down, it would go down with it. But
okay.
So I wouldn't freeze it high.
Okay.
Okay. Well, right. I don't think I qualify anyway. But,
okay.
I'm going to check my income tax.
Thanks for
okay,
calling.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.
The crash of 08. That's
yeah.
I don't think I've heard it
yeah, right.
put that way. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, for radio terms, that's a great
well, it was because
great
of that,
way to word it.
It was because of that crash that we created the new laws that require me to make your LPV go up 5% every year.
So tell me about your APP.
So the AAPP, which is the address, it came because of DTRON. You know, after COVID, everything was easier. You can get everything easier. You can get information easier on the internet. You now can get notaries done over the internet. And because of all that, it opened the door for fraudsters. So our office looked at possible ways that we could, you know, what's the common denominator? How does this happen? We found that a change of address is one of the things that happens every time there's deed fraud. And so what can we do to maybe freeze it? So we created a program. We're the only program, we're the first county in the state. Again, like I said, we're leaders in Mojave County. We're the first county in the state to come up with this program. And it's very successful. What it does is it freezes your property. You have to come in. The owners of the property have to come in and be notarized. We need to make certain you are who you are. You own that property. Mm-hmm. And then it goes through a process in our office that puts a big check mark. So if a transfer comes through, and let's say it's a fraudulent transfer and that comes through, you're part of that program, we call you before we transfer.
That's pretty
it.
Amazing.
Isn't that cool?
For people like myself that have LifeLock, I'm thinking, wow.
That replaces... Yeah.
You know, cancel that
so,
subscription.
You know, the recorder's office also has a program. When we started this about a year later, Wendy Rogers got a bill passed and created a program for the assessor's, for the recorder's office. And that office does too, but by name. Mine does it by parcel. So between the two programs, we are literally the safest Whoa. County in the entire state because we have ways for you to stay safe when it comes to deed fraud. It is out there. I've seen it. We've thwarted it. The program works. Mine's a one-time $50 charge. That's it, one time until you sell. So it's really worth it, especially when you consider LifeLock is like $40 a month, you know.
And, oh, yeah, for full protection?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's it gets up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. We do have a call. I don't think it's the coach. Caller, you're live on Speakout.
Sorry to call back. I like this idea about the deed lock. Does uh-huh. that... count rental properties as well?
Any property that you own, yes. As long as you can...
$50?
Yes, $50 per parcel, yes.
And then we also have the recorder recorded document alert that you can sign up for with a valid email address.
Mm-hmm.
And you can subscribe with up to 5 names for ownership and up to 5 parcels. As long as it's on the face of the document, you would receive an email notification seeing the document that's recorded for you to validate if it should have been recorded or not before it gets to the assessor.
And you can get both of those at our wonderful office. Go see Karina here at the courthouse, and she can sign you up for both programs. It's really easy for you.
That's a great idea. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You wanted to talk about short-term rentals.
Yeah, one of the bills that I'm looking to pass, short-term rentals have been a big problem. It's created the increase in values for our homes. It's had neighborhood issues, city issues. Of course, you know, there was a law that was passed by Doug Ducey that made it where our city has no control of what
None
they want to do, you know, no
cities.
City, no
yeah.
city. And so the mayors have gotten together and still continue to do what they can. What we're finding out is that my idea of actually classifying these short-term rentals that are acting like motels. And let me be very clear about that. I'm not looking at a primary owner that has a casita in their backyard and they rent out. I'm not looking at
duplexes.
I'm not looking at a snowbird that is there 6 months of the year and then rents it out to the boaters over the summer. I'm looking at the home that was purchased by Hilton to only do short-term rental 365 days a year.
That's happening?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they are acting like a motel. So now I take an oath to be fair and equitable, right? Oh. I am not fair to the motels because the motels right now I am classifying as commercial, but that house down the street that's doing the same exact thing. I mean, they even have a TPT license, a business license. They hire somebody to manage it. This is commercial. And so we're going to start starting the first of the year. We'll be making sure they're all classified as commercial.
Okay, back up a second. I live in a condo, and a lot of my neighbors are there, I don't know, 6 months a year. They come down from Minnesota, mm-hmm. wherever, and they leave as soon as it hits 90.
Right.
But I'm there all year round.
Yeah.
And I notice a big difference on holiday week because I notice a difference in the trash, the dumpster levels, you know, the parking especially.
Right.
Is that where they're focusing? We're talking about those companies like Hilton or whatever?
No, they're not. They were buying houses. The realtors were really selling the house on income. We don't sell anything on income except for business. That's another reason we should be classifying them as commercial.
What city is this happening in?
Everywhere. But our city is one of the worst in our county.
In Havasu, you're saying?
Yes. We're about 10%, if not more.
10%.
Yeah, we're about
The homes in the market.
The homes that we have are short term rentals are about 9%, but I think it's more because people aren't registering like they should. They're supposed to be registering them,
right?
And they're not. And so, the mayors love this idea, this bill that I have already drafted.
City managers,
everybody loves it. I went and spoke at the League of Cities and Towns a couple weeks ago. They had put me on stage and we talked about this idea and everybody loves it.
But overall, short-term rentals, how many are owned this way by corporations?
I don't know yet.
We don't know yet.
And you know why? Because nobody wants to give us that information. So I can't get it from Airbnb. I can't get it from VRBO. I can't get it from our Department of Revenue. Nobody wants to give me the addresses of those places. So I work with organizations like the Arizona Neighborhood Alliance, and they crunch the data as best as I can. That's where they got the 9%. But, you know, even 9% doesn't account for what I think we have probably 2,700 of them in Lake Havasu.
What if a Paul Lavoie submitted a Freedom of Information Act request? Would he be able to get it?
I don't think so, not from the Department of Revenue. Okay. So what we started about 3 years ago, the classification letter that we send to everybody when they have a rental, we made it a little bit more specific as to what kind of rental you have. Are you doing it 365 days a year? Are you doing it? This is the form here. Uh-huh. And so we added more information, and we've been getting this data for the last year and a half now. And we're getting that information, but we're also going to have to now do it on our own. You know, appraisers are investigators. That's our job. And so we literally are going to have to go on Airbnb, find the house, and then find it on our system. It's still going to be worth it. I have to be fair and equitable. So we have a lot. We get the information from the cities.
That's extremely tedious.
Yes.
That sounds wow. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how – I've never been on those sites, but it sounds like a lot of hits come up for each city.
There's companies that I can hire to do this for me and scrub that information, and they will get that information. But unfortunately, because I'm an entire county, they want to charge me per parcel, and I have over 250,000 parcels.
You got to ask like a District 5 supervisor, District 3. You got to ask them for money to do that, right?
Yes. So I'm trying to do it without asking for money because I'm a conservative, and we want to do with what we have, you know. So we're going to be starting that next year, and then we're going to back it up with a bill that's going to get passed, so then that way every other assessor in the state does the same thing. And that's my biggest goal, is to make sure that we all do the same thing.
Gotcha.
And we conform.
Well, unfortunately, I'm running out of time. I've got to get this, you know, Marissa June's like, we got to get that shovel back. So I got to relay that to Coach Thompson for tomorrow night. But anything else? Did we miss anything, ladies?
Well, from Treasure Mellow, I just want to remind everybody that your tax bill will be coming out to you by the end of this month. Watch for that. If you have any questions, give us a call and look at that tax bill. The only new thing that you're going to see on that is the QR code. You can now just scan that with your phone and go ahead and pay your taxes with a debit or credit card. Okay. So I hope that you guys like that. And thank you.
Thank you for having
See,
us.
See, that's why she's the county treasurer. You put a face like that on a message like that, and no one's going to argue, right?
That's right. You can't argue
just
with her.
I'm just saying. Ladies, it's always good to have you
Thank
here.
Thank you so Thank much, you for having us.
Don't be a stranger.
Okay.
Especially
okay.
you.
I know. I've been so busy, but I'm better. I'm back.
Right. Exactly. All right. We're going to take it to break. I've got Coach Carl Thompson on the phone. He doesn't know that I know. He thinks, you know, that I don't know what number he called from. But I know. I'm like the wizard in that respect. All right.
You're the man, Paul.
Again, Lydia Henry, our county recorder, Sue Ann Mello, county treasurer, and Jeannie Kench, county assessor. Thanks for being here. All right.
Thank you.
Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
Sun went down as across the hill.
All right, we're back on Speak Out. We've got Coach Carl Thompson on the line. We're going to talk about the Golden Shovel game here in about, I don't know, 30 seconds. Speak Out brought to you in part by The Chair, Havasu-style dining and live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere. Also, Mojave College, samsguns.com, solar power by Esme Electric, by Doritos Place, providing Havasu with all-natural dog and cat food. Also, the Lewis team Remax by the Lake with Bobby and Julie Lewis. I understand a loyal Speak Out listener who listens to the Real Estate Power Hour every month actually went and saw Bobby Lewis. So that's great that we're getting results here for Bobby on Speak Out. Also, Looky Lou's Antiques and Collectibles. And with us on the phone, Coach Carl Thompson back from the 8,000-foot elevation of the walk-up Sky Dome at NAU. Man, you know, it's the first time I'd ever been in that facility. That's a nice building, but man, just walking a few feet, even downhill, you got to kind of catch your breath a little bit, Coach.
Well, you know, it is. It's an exciting environment for the kids to get to play. That's why we kind of shot for that for the start, but I didn't know where you were going with that for a second. When you were talking about the Looky Lou Antiques and introduced me, I thought you were talking about me for a second there.
No. That's just our sponsors.
I'm just, yeah. But yeah, the Sky Dome is fabulous. You know, we've enjoyed being up there the last couple years. That was kind of a staple that we had done over probably the previous 5 years. I think that would have been, since I've been here, about the 14th time we've played up there.
Hey, so real quick, before we get to brass tacks here, did you get to stay for the Needles game at all, or do you know what happened?
No, I think Needles ran away with it. I think they won big time. Stayed a little bit. I actually know their athletic director and their coaching staff. Good group of guys. Several of their players we've shared athletes as the kids have grown up, all the different travel teams and everything else. So we got a little bit. We heard about it. Coach DeShano, who used to be at River Valley in Mojave, is on their staff too. So a lot of good people that we interacted and we talked a little bit before the game, but I think that they at Needles did win that game.
So the big story, I would say, if I were to come up with a summary of the game from last Friday, I would say it was all defense. It was the turnovers. Nobody got the ball past the 20-yard line for the first, I don't know, 10 minutes, 12 minutes. And then all of a sudden they score, you score. You were behind, you were ahead, but the turnovers were big. Not just fumbles. There were some spectacular interceptions.
Yes, you know, when you win the turnover battle, you give yourself a great chance to win. We did that with the four interceptions. We had three different individuals come up with interceptions. Luke Johnson, Blake Pohl, and Spencer Ibarra had two. We did force a fumble early in the game, which was huge for us to kind of end Gila Ridge's drive and everything. And, you know, but again, winning that turnover margin's huge. You know, I think for both of us coming back and forth, you know, you did have a scrimmage. Now you have more people playing in different roles. You actually add in special teams. You kind of have to figure out a couple things. And I figure both teams got their feet under them moving into the second and third quarter. And, you know, again, you know, we got the first downs and moved the ball when we needed to.
Coach, you got 21 seniors up, way up from six last year. Did those seniors kind of help propel that win, you think? Or, I mean, it seemed like there was a lot of leadership going on because that game wasn't put away until late in the fourth quarter.
Correct. I mean, they stayed in the game. They were doing all the things that they needed to. They had been there before. I think that experience did come to help us, you know, not losing focus and knowing that if we continued on the path and what our game plan was, that eventually we would put ourselves in a position to be in or win the game.
I hate to put you in this position, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't. Who would you call your player of the game? Who are your standouts on offense and on defense?
You know, I would say Tripp Burke. He did a good job in his first varsity start. I mean, he had played that role for us several times last year.
That's your quarterback.
And everything. Quarterback, he did a good job getting the ball, reading the defense. And when, you know, when receivers weren't open, he kind of took it on himself to extend plays, to allow them to get open, or use his legs to get first downs. So, you know, he did a tremendous job on that. Also going hand-in-hand with him, the receivers did a tremendous job blocking for each other. As the ball was spread out, they did a really good job getting to that next level. Defensively, I'm going to say it was a total effort because we had a great pass rush. Guys engaged everything. Linebackers were in coverage. I mean, it was a team defensive effort on that one.
I don't have the name of your opponent written down. I can't believe I didn't do that.
Gila Ridge.
Gila Ridge, thank you. It seemed like at the end of the first half, Gila Ridge got a pretty critical drive, and they milked about 6 minutes off the clock. They left you with 3 seconds at the end of the half. I was kind of impressed by that. I was wondering if you guys would pull it out.
You know, we had a play come in where we had a no call of a play in. There was some miscommunication where some of our players thought we had a play in, so we ended up giving them the ball right there before the half. We were going to punt, but, I mean, again, we had some early mistakes. You know, like
right.
I said, and that's going to happen. It's high school football.
Okay,
and we weather the storm and fix them for week two.
Let's go to the big prize. Even if you lose the rest of the way out after Mojave, this is the big one. This is the golden shovel. They've got it for 2 years now, but I don't think Yoni's a quarterback this year. So what's the focus on Mojave?
Well, I think he probably will be in the game. He did play last week in the game.
Oh, he is back. I thought he was a senior last
back.
Year. Okay.
No, he's back. He was back.
Oh boy!
And they have some good athletes. They, just like us, it'll be an evenly matched tell of the tape. It'll just be, I think, again, who wins that same turnover margin, who can keep their emotions in check, not to give away any free yards.
Uh huh.
So, and just, you know, who can stay focused the longest.
I remember a couple of years ago they had that ground game. It just ate time and it ate up yards. Is that the same Mojave team, the same style of football we're talking about?
They are. They'll spread the ball around. They do a good job in their passing game. They have a couple good running backs. You know, their quarterback's very mobile. Defense is very aggressive. So it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a great matchup for us.
Well, what's fascinating to me is you have players that were sophomores when they lost the shovel, right? Now they're seniors.
We did.
Now they're seniors.
Correct.
They're hungry. I would think Mojave would be ready for that. What's your take?
You know, it's a big rivalry game. Again, like you said, they've got up for the last 2 years. You know, our guys want to win it back. We were pretty close to getting it back last year.
Right.
Just some things didn't go our way towards the end. But again, you know, our guys have had this on their calendar for the whole summer, and I think we'll be ready for this game.
I think it's cool that your quarterback's name is Tripp because he slides a lot. He doesn't trip. I was trying to make a good joke out of that. But you taught him to slide well, or somebody did. I was very impressed by that.
You know, he played baseball for us back in the days as well, through his little league days and a little bit of travel ball through middle school. So, you know, he's doing a good job commanding the offense, you know, getting the guys set and ready, and, you know, they're rallying around him. So we're really excited with him there and with what the rest of the boys are going to do with him.
Right, right. Coach, any parting thoughts as we head to the Golden Shovel game? And we'll be on 980 AM and KNTRSports.com. You can listen to the game there via streaming. We'll be there at Lee Barnes Stadium tomorrow night. Any parting thoughts?
Well, we're just excited to be able to play at home for the first time this season. You know, we have a great community that supports us, so we expect a great turnout. I know there's a couple class reunions going on, different things they've all reached out and everything, so we're just really excited to have this game at home.
Wow, everything revolves around the shovel, huh?
It does. Apparently it does.
Nice. We'll see you tomorrow night, and it'll be myself and Jim Chaney up in the booth. Jim's going to call the game. I'm going to help out on the technical side and with a few other things. So there you go. All right.
Sounds great. We appreciate the support.
Coach Carl Thompson, good luck against Mojave High School.
All right. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. That's, again, Coach Carl Thompson, and that's Mojave at Havasu. Again, Mojave at Havasu. You might want to get there a little early for parking at the high school, at the campus. And, 7 o'clock kickoff. We'll be on the air at around 6:40, 6:45-ish. And, again, I'll be there. Jim Chaney will be there, and we'll be calling the game. I'm looking forward to a low-scoring game is what I think it's going to be, because I saw the Havasu defense last week. All right, we're going to take it straight up to news. It's been a pleasure. We'll see you next Tuesday on Speak Out.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.